we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatments of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, October 30th, 2015. Halloween is tomorrow, and World Vegan Day is coming up this Sunday. I'm your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Alyssa Ray.
Hey.
And Allison Cole.
Hi there.
And our control room operator, Amir Ali.
Hi.
Jackie's away today. Welcome, everyone. Animal Voices is Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living, broadcasting live every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and bringing you interviews, commentary, news, and events that you need to keep up to date on what's happening both locally and abroad. In addition to our live broadcast here on 100.5 FM and at coopradio.org, our shows are also available as podcasts at animalvoices.org after airing. So if you're a regular listener to Co-op Radio or Animal Voices, you probably know that we are in the midst of our annual fall member drive, which means that this is the time where you can show your love and support for the show by pledging us a donation or membership. You can do so online at cooperadio.org, or we will also be taking your phone calls during and after the show today at 604-684-8494. So please feel free to give us a call, and either Amir or Alyssa will take your call until a half hour after we finish. We'll be chatting a bit more later on the show, too, about why we feel it's important to support Animal Voices and community radio. For our feature segment today, we are pleased to present an interview with author and speaker extraordinaire Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, who will be here to speak to us a bit about World Vegan Day and the role that veganism plays in achieving justice for non-human animals. Colleen is the author of 7 best-selling books, including several vegan cookbooks, and is the host of the wildly popular Food for Thought podcast. She is pretty much one of the foremost experts on all things vegan. So this interview with Colleen is coming up in about half an hour, so please do stay tuned. Now, it is Halloween tomorrow, and lately I have been thinking a bit about the various non-human animal species who are commonly associated with Halloween and the superstitions that people have about them and how they're often affected by these superstitions. We were talking a little bit about that earlier, and I was hoping my lovely co-host could share their thoughts on that.
Yeah, I guess, I was looking at, what is there? There's cats, black cats, owls, bats. What else kind of a creepy animal?
Yeah. Spiders and stuff.
Spiders, rats.
And snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those. And particularly black cats, I think, at this time.
Yeah.
Get a lot of hatred, and they're kind of, they're vilified. And a lot of it, I think, is due to the fact that they're nocturnal. And, you know, they lurk in the shadows, and people are scared of what's in the dark, and they're out there in the dark, and they've been associated with witches, you know, over the years. And, and there's higher violence towards black cats. And I read today something I didn't even think about, that, that adoptions for black cats go up in October.
But I thought they're not allowed to be adopted in October.
In certain shelters, maybe. There's a few. Because the shelters were realizing it's an issue. People adopt the black cats as like a prop for Halloween, and then get rid of them after, or bring them back to the shelter, or maybe just like let them go.
Right.
So, yeah. And that's kind of even tame compared to, like, you know, there is actual like violence, like people like with, you know, firecrackers and stuff like that, like torturing them and stuff.
Yeah. So with regards to black cats, I was actually sort of surprised to find that there's some superstition that with black dogs. It's called black dog syndrome. I was reading an article last night, which I posted on our Facebook page if you're interested in reading. It's all about how superstition and certain religions have led to animal cruelty. So they call this black dog syndrome. For centuries, various religions and superstitions have hounded darker colored animals, as we were just talking about, but For instance, during the early days of Christianity, a large black dog called the Grim was believed to frequent graveyards. A certain Grim called the Black Dog of Newgate was said to go near the window of sick people indicating they were about to die. It was also once believed that vampires took the form of black dogs. Eastern European lore speaks of how these beasts were seen roaming in the countryside right after livestock had been attacked. This led many people to believe these dogs were a malevolent force and were behind the attacks. These tales also found themselves ingrained in North American culture, oftentimes called hellhounds, and more recently, tales of the ill portents brought by the Grimm became famous once again in a Harry Potter movie. So there's black dog syndrome, but not only black dogs, but what about poor owls too? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to quickly mention about owls as well. So apparently there's a lot of superstitions over owls. Romans believed that owls were superstitious due to their nocturnal activities, and they felt that the creatures foretold death. Owls were actually burned during festivals and their ashes scattered in the Tiber River. And as centuries passed, old beliefs gave way to new ones, such as how an owl hooting or screeching meant the death of a newborn. Owls were also associated with witches and ghosts, and owl nesting in a house meant it was haunted. Similarly, dreaming of an owl meant you would soon encounter an accident, while major misfortune would befall you if you encountered an owl during daytime. So a lot of negative connotations here with regards to certain types of animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the ones that seem to be associated with Halloween a lot. Maybe there's, that's not a coincidence.
And beyond just the season, I mean, black cats and dogs especially, like, just aren't adopted as much as other animals. And one of the reasons is they're hard to photograph,
mm-hmm.
I learned, because it's hard to see, you know, in the shadows of a photo, like, the spirit of a black black furred animal.
That's true.
I was just looking at this neat event. Well, it got a lot of attention recently in Vancouver. There was a yoga studio who did a yoga class. It was 12 black cats, and they were all adoptable, and I think 8 of them got adopted. And cool. It was kind of cool, and they had like 6 million views on their YouTube. So like their intention to get the word out about how cool black cats are,
nice.
I think was fulfilled, and they did a really good job.
That was the Vancouver Orphan Kitten Rescue, is that right?
Yeah,
and they're right next door to Co-op Radio. If you want to go check them out on Wall Street in Vancouver,
cool.
It is. Again, we'd like to remind you that you're listening to Co-op Radio on 100.5 FM CFRO. Co-op Radio is a place that, a culture that really, really stops us from sort of being isolated. It reaches into people's living rooms around Vancouver, and it promotes community building. And that's something that I really value. It's really helped me, you know, connect to the community, being on the show and just hearing all the events that are happening here, and listening to other shows on Co-op Radio, and just hearing like how much is going on, and how deeply people care, and how rich and ripe Vancouver is. And there's so many different voices, you know, that we can hear on Co-op Radio. And I just really value all the unique stories keep me company in the mornings. You know, I love listening to Red Eye on Saturday mornings and the F Word and other awesome shows on Co-op Radio that really help me feel, you know, comforted knowing that I'm not alone. And that, you know, that we're all thinking kind of similar things and we're struggling in similar ways. And it's really helped me open up my mind and feel less alone. And there's so many different ideas that are being debated, different news and stories, not only on Animal Voices, but all across Co-op Radio. And that's one of the main reasons why I'm a member of Co-op Radio. And I have been a member for about 5 years. And which is almost the whole time that I've lived in Vancouver.
You've been on Animal Voices too.
A little longer, but it's just really helped me feel connected. Like before, I didn't really know where my voice might be valued or like where the folks gathered. And one of the big places is Co-op Radio. And I've been to a couple Co-op Radio events where I get to really feel that spirit and that richness. So we're inviting you now to be a part of something bigger and to help build this community here. Co-op Radio is community. We are your community radio station, and we're inviting you to become a member now. for any amount. And you can go to coopradio.org and just click on donate. And you can, yeah, like I said, become a member for any amount, whatever you can afford. It all adds up.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch upon this too, is Alyssa's speaking about drawing community together in Vancouver, but I think that we even facilitate even a much larger community, and that is mm-hmm. the community of people who care about animals. We're a podcast, right? So you can go onto animalvoices.org at any time, or iTunes and or cooperadio.org, and listen to all of our past shows there. And that means that we're accessible from everywhere around the world, not just in Vancouver. And our content, while we do have somewhat of a Vancouver focus, which I think is great, to be able to really just like bring those issues in that are affecting our community. We also do cover a lot of outside issues that affect the world as a whole. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't say outside, more of just issues that do affect everyone on the planet. We've had so many interesting topics. I'm just here on our website right now, just sort of seeing like topics that we've covered in the past. I produced a show, the last show I produced was about drone technology and using that to advocate for animals. I thought that was really interesting, and that could help anyone all around the world. We also had a show in the summer in July about gender and sexual diversity among animals, and I thought like that's completely relevant to everyone, you know, all over the world. We had an interview with Pie Bird Farm Sanctuary and interview about empowering non-human activists earlier in July. I know I did an interview in July too about the emotional lives of animals and children. I think there's just a lot of information, a lot of interesting stuff here that we can draw into this community of people who care about animals, people who want to live a cruelty-free lifestyle, a compassionate lifestyle, or who and one of the things that we're going to be talking about later on the show is how to overcome barriers to veganism. And I think a large part of that is to have community, because people say that it's a lack of community that draws them away from the lifestyle of just trying to do the least harm to animals. So that's what we're here for. We are here to be community, whether you're more locally based in Vancouver and you can take part in some of like the events and that we talk about that are happening in the city, but you don't need to be. You can be anywhere across the world. So on that point, you don't even have to make a long distance phone call to make a donation to Co-op Radio. Now, as Alyssa said, just go online, cooperadio.org, click on donate, and you can make a donation there in the name of Animal Voices. We actually do need to make a certain amount of money every year to keep the show on the air, so we're counting on you.
And to maybe encourage you to donate, I would like to take just a minute to say why Co-op Radio is important to me. It's definitely where I've rediscovered my passion for radio and at the same time realized the potential of the medium as a whole. It took two passions to make this happen, though. One, my love for radio and how important I feel it is. And two, the way I feel about animals and their rights, or lack thereof. I've experienced firsthand the ability for the radio to connect to someone from far distances, and I've seen how it can mean more than the same five songs on regular rotation, like on pop radio. There will probably be a time in life where we don't have the technology that we have today to communicate through social media and email and wherever else people are communicating nowadays. A station like Co-op Radio becomes more than just a radio station in a time of emergency. The medium is the message, and your generosity keeps this medium alive for the love of animals and radio.
Once again, you're listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Coast Salish Territories. Again, the number to call is 604-684-8494, or you can simply go to cooperadio.org to donate.
There's a couple upcoming events around Vancouver. One of them this weekend, actually, is a Halloween-themed event. So celebrate this Halloween by fighting for the animals and get creative and haunting while doing so. It's just been announced, the hashtag HauntSkanska. It's a Halloween weekend of action from today, Friday, to Sunday, November 1st, to provide such an outlet. When you think of Halloween, what comes to mind? Trick-or-treat, merry pranks, scary costumes, jack-o'-lanterns, haunted houses. So many possibilities. Every one of them can find their special place this Halloween. Make this year one to remember for animals, and make it one to remember for Skanska, whose sadistic executives are building real-life houses of horror just to turn a profit. So this is a part of the campaign No New Animal Lab. The University of Washington is currently... has hired this contractor called Skanska. They're an international, you know, building contractor, and they're building an underground animal lab, a huge one where, you know, countless animals stand to be tortured. And so No New Animal Lab is trying to, you know, run with the Halloween theme. And there's information if you go, hashtag Haunt Skanska. That's S-K-A-N-S-K-A. And you can be involved even if you're not around the Washington area. There's lots of ways to get involved that that aren't, you know, location-specific, related to phoning and emailing and stuff like that. Yeah, so check that out if you're interested and you want to stand up for animals this weekend. Coming up in November, on November 15th at 11 a.m. and all day long, is an activist training camp. It's hosted by a couple animal liberation activists locally. And it's a full-day event where there will be a whole bunch of different workshops. And it's going to be for facilitated learning, activities, practical training, and more. It's for new activists or people who are just curious about activism, as well as for seasoned activists who've, you know, done their fair share of demos and marches and things like that. They're going to be covering lots of different topics, including security culture and legal rights, nonviolent resistance, confidence in speaking, creativity and activism, and more. Lots going on there. Check out, again, that's Activist Training Camp on November 15th.
And if you're interested in getting involved this weekend, there's another event that's happening on Sunday, November the 1st at 11 a.m. It's a sanctuary work day at Hearts on Noses Sanctuary. This is hosted by Direct Action Everywhere Vancouver, Coast Salish Territories. DXC Vancouver is heading to Hearts on Noses, a pig sanctuary located in Mission, BC, where they'll be spending the day working for the many pigs who live there. There will be time to hang out with the pigs and other residents, but the people volunteering there will be there first and foremost to help out. So the address of Hearts on Noses will be given to those who RSVP, and you can do so on Facebook. You can check the link on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, or you can look up Direct Action Everywhere Vancouver's Facebook page, and they will be coordinating rides and carpools as well. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
You're listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 CFRO. We are a non-commercial station bringing you voices and stories and perspectives you probably won't hear elsewhere. We are supported by members and by donations. You can become a member by going to our website at www.cooperadio.org. If you like what you hear but don't want to be a member, that's cool too. You can still help by clicking on the donate arrow at the top right of the website. Co-op Radio thanks you for listening and for helping build our community of listeners and programmers. You know I need your love. You know that hold over me. As long as I got your love, you know that I'll
have. So, as I mentioned earlier, World Vegan Day is coming up this Sunday, November 1st. I thought I'd just briefly mention World Vegan Day was started in 1994 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the UK Vegan Society, and it's pretty much been celebrated annually on November 1st ever since. Just to celebrate World Vegan Day, to kind of mark this occasion, I was hoping that we could discuss a little bit about overcoming barriers to veganism, to going vegan, and resources that we have found helpful in becoming vegan and staying vegan. So, Allison, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
I think I love cookbooks. I think there's always, and these days too, not so much when I was becoming vegan, is there's a plethora of amazing websites out there that you can check out for free vegan recipes. There's always stuff on the internet. If you're on Facebook as much as I am, or even probably most people, a lot of people are probably on there more than I am. I mean, there's always amazing recipes being like shot down through my news feed. And then I just feel compelled to share a lot of them with my Facebook friends because they just look so good, not just for vegans, but for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like the internet and cookbooks themselves, because I really love just like a good book and being able to, you know, just like feel the pages and see the photographs and to sit, lie there in bed at night or in the morning and just like, as I was doing, as I was sick this week, but able to like read books in my bed. And I was going through this beautiful cookbook that I'll be reviewing on the show and just, and flipping through the pages and just salivating over all the food. I mean, it's really not hard to go vegan when you're just presented with this amazing array of and bounty of so much food that you can make. So a large part of it is like, what do I make, right? So, and these days there's just no excuses as to like, it's like, what can't I make? It's I have this this sweatshirt, it's a hoodie that I ordered from an online site, and it says on the back, it covers the whole back. It says, I'm a vegan and I eat, and goes on to list about 200 different items. They're like all whole food items too that cover the whole back of my hoodie. And there's, I just feel like there's not a lack of options there. Mm-hmm. And when I'm cooking too, like I always say, like I never make the same thing twice. So I would love to direct people just to go online and get connected with the vegan community online too. And just I guess if you're subscribed to certain pages on Facebook, for example, you're going to be getting more of those posts probably than the average person would. But they're just like shooting me from all over the place, and I can't get enough of them. And just, and vegan cookbooks too. Like there's just so many around. Go to Amazon.com or .ca and just like type in vegan cookbooks and see what's up there. So yeah, that's just one tip I have.
Yeah, that's great. Also, at any bookstore nowadays, you at a lot of the big bookstores, you see just huge shelves full of vegan cookbooks.
Well, when I go to Chapters, that's my first destination is the cookbooks, but not just the cookbooks, but the vegan cookbook section, which takes up shelves and shelves now.
Yeah, exactly. I find we're very lucky nowadays to have so many resources online as well. There's just lots and lots of information on the internet. If you're new to being vegan or interested in being vegan, there's lots of free starter kits on the internet or organizations that can send you free starter kits for becoming vegan. Vegankit.com is a great one. And I think that a lot of people kind of, you know, I've sort of been asking around with friends who are new to veganism or, you know, interested in being vegan for this segment. And people were telling me that it's hard to know sometimes where to find reliable information, like on nutrition, for example. And for me personally, veganhealth.org is the best website that I know of for nutrition information. It's all evidence-based. It's run by registered dietitians, and all the sources are cited, and it's very comprehensive, very thorough. So again, veganhealth.org, I highly recommend. And yeah, so many vegan recipe sites. Post Punk Kitchen is great. Chef Chloe Coscarelli's website is great. What else? For clothing, yeah, I mean, because obviously veganism goes beyond diet, right? It includes the ethic of veganism is centrally about avoiding using animals as property or exploiting animals. So that includes also for clothing, entertainment, or other purposes, you know, product testing and that sort of thing. So and again, starter kits like Vegan Kit, they have a lot of resources where you can find vegan clothing and you know, cosmetic products that aren't tested on animals. And and I think it's great, you know, if you're curious about this sort of thing, just Googling vegan clothes or whatever. And, you know, there's so many sites and so many businesses out there that cater to this demographic.
I just wanted to mention one favorite website of mine. Sometimes recipes from this site comes up. Chooseveg.com or .ca, apparently, what I'm looking at right now. That's a Mercy for Animals site. And what I like on there, there's sections that say what to eat, how to switch, health tips, and why veg. And so it's for the newbie. It's definitely for the newbie. It's going to guide you. It's going to it's going to make, and I love their what to eat section, because it just, they have like really simple recipes, like on there too. Like I remember they have like this is how you make a bowl.
like a grain bowl. Mm-hmm. Like you add, you know, you take some grains, you add some vegetables, you add a sauce, and they have like yeah. these beautiful graphics to right. illustrate. It just makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
So yeah. And oh yeah, here we are, like build a meal and switch and ditch dining out. So dining out is an issue too, right? So not so much for us in Vancouver, but I think too that even like wherever you are, hopefully you have access to fruits and vegetables and grains, and so it's not going to be an issue for you to go vegan. And these days too, and even like mainstream stores, just mm-hmm. even like very mainstream stores, there's all kinds of meat substitutes if you're into that, because they are a good transition food.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And yeah, actually, you mentioned dining out, and happycow.net, right?
Happycow.net. I was just on there last night.
Yeah, that's
see what
a
there's
great
to
site.
Eat in Maui when I go there.
Right. Yeah. It's for those not who don't much. Know, it's basically a website that where you can input wherever you are in the world, and it will provide you with a list of vegan, veg friendly. Restaurants or stores in the area that you happen to be in. And they also have a smartphone app, so you can, you know.
Do you use that a lot when you're traveling, Lise?
Yeah. Occasionally I'll even use it here in town if I'm in an area that I don't know super well and I need
and
to.
And I've used it in town here too, and it's very, what's the word? Like, it's very thorough.
Yeah.
There's absolutely. A lot of stuff on there. Because, you know, we, being here in Vancouver, we kind of know where stuff is.
Yeah.
And then, but we might forget about things sometimes.
Right.
And I've sure. put it on before, and it'll grasp your GPS location, and mm-hmm. I'll be like, yeah, this is all accurate. These are all the places, and this is exactly how far they are from
right.
me. So it's a really cool yeah. application to have on your phone for sure.
Yeah, it's very cool. How about you, Alyssa? Any thoughts?
Community building. That's, yeah, all the stuff and the products and da-da-da, you know, great. It's great. Whatever. It's easy. No problem. But I find the problem is really the social stuff. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. For me, I mean, becoming vegan, it was the podcast, actually, Clean Patrick Gaudreau's Food for Thought, that helped me get the sense that I wasn't alone. And she's just so warm and, you know, gentle. Mm-hmm. And then I felt the confidence to, you know, reach out to other people because I had this ground of I knew the ethics, and then I wanted to talk to people about them. And then, yeah, potlucks and volunteering at different events and just really talking to people and feeling like I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. That's really been the biggest thing for me. I would not be where I am without all the warm, loving, exemplary vegans around me being awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It's very important.
Yeah, no, that's actually exactly what I was going to say. I mean, you could have all the resources in the world, but if you're doing it on your own without the support group around you, then it's a lot harder to do. And I mean, I definitely made some sacrifices in terms of just the people that I was hanging out with that when I became vegan. Obviously, I had a lot of friends that weren't vegan and, you know, ate a lot of meat and stuff like that. And it was a hard decision to make when you don't have friends that are super accommodating. But I mean, mm-hmm. if you're wanting to do something that's going to, you know, lead to the betterment of the world as a whole, it's not really the biggest sacrifice to make, I guess, to surround yourself with better people, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And just with regards to community too, we don't have much time here, but just no matter where you are, you might be thinking, well, I don't live in Vancouver where you have, you know, 1,200 people on your Vancouver Vegans Facebook page to share every day. So I wanted to mention, like, there's a few communities online that reach far and wide. Veganuary is one of them, and that's a campaign that challenges people to go vegan for the month of January. And I was listening to a podcast interview with the people who started that, who actually I met them last summer, really great people in the UK. If you go to veganuary.com, you'll see a lot of resources there, and they build community, and there's a message board on there, and there's a vegan starter kit, and there's recipes, and there's info about eating out and products and stuff. So go try check that out. Also, I know Colleen Patrick-Goudreau has her 30-day vegan challenge, and maybe she'll talk about that when she's with us. Mm-hmm. So that's something else too that can help build community.
Yeah.
So once again, we are having our membership drive here at Co-op Radio. It's our fall member drive, and Animal Voices needs your help in order to keep us on the air. As I mentioned before, we do have to raise a certain amount of money. It's $1,000 a year to keep Animal Voices on the air, and every show at Co-op Radio has to do that. It's Vancouver Co-op Radio. We are the radio and the voice for the people, and we give a voice to marginalized communities. One of those is the animal rights community, and I think that one can say that well, we are Western Canada's only show on animal rights and compassionate living. So we ask that you do support us. What we're asking for you today is to sign up with not just any membership, but we're asking for you to subscribe with a sustaining membership. And what that is that you just take, you just have like a small amount or whatever you want withdrawn from your bank account every month. And I know that Alyssa and I do that. And it's just a really easy way to continually give to the station. So what that does is it provides Co-op Radio with a steady stream of income so that they can properly manage and forecast what our finances are going to be in the future. Another benefit to this is that we don't have to ask you, and you don't have to remember every year to donate to us, because it's just ongoing. So I have $5 just taken out of my bank account every month, and it's just a really small amount, but it goes a long way. And if you can imagine, if everyone listening today were to just donate $5 a month from their bank account, it would help out a lot. So in order to do that, you can go to cooperadio.org and click on donate and say that you're donating for Animal Voices, so that money will go towards our amount that we need to raise. Or you can call us at 604-684-8494. We have a great interview coming up, so we ask, maybe you want to you might want to wait till after the interview. We will be on the air at we will be answering the phones, I should say, at 1 o'clock p.m. Until a half hour later. 604-684-8494. Thank you.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for your support. We love you. Yeah, so we have just a couple quick news stories here before we get to Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. Let's see. Oh, what was that story? There was in BC now, cosmetic ear cropping for dogs has been banned just this week. So that's the word from the College of Veterinarians of BC, who have just recently banned that. So that means vets can face fines or worse if they continue doing the procedure. And there's a quote here from one of the vet top, I guess, vets in BC as part of that BC college says, "The thought that someone would cut off a substantial part of a dog's ear so it looks more menacing and threatening is particularly repugnant." And then he goes on to say, "We're in a catch-up situation because 6 or 7 other provinces are way ahead of us in implementing such legislation. And other countries in Europe and Australia and New Zealand have banned it completely as well. It's totally unnecessary procedure carried out in cases of injury." Oh, unless it's carried out in cases of injury or for health concerns. Yeah, so new bylaws there, and it goes on to say the next ban that they're going to look at is tail docking, which still goes on as a cosmetic procedure. Also, cosmetic dentistry to meet show or breed standards, tattooing other than for registration and ID, and body piercing.
It's a lot of cosmetic work for animals, weirdly. For companion animals, or I guess sort of show animals, as they might be called too sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So right now, currently, there's no fine schedule attached to the bylaw, but people can, you know, put in complaints and they'll be investigated. You can, I guess, just contact the BC SPCA for more information about that.
So this was a big news story this week that I wanted to talk about. I don't know if Elise and Alyssa, if you were seeing this come through like your feeds online, but like every hour or so, it seemed like the headlines were yelling, big, huge news story that diets high in red meat are also linked to increased cancer. Mm-hmm. Who would have known? Well, we knew that, right? But it's now official news. It's been announced as of this Monday by the World Health Organization. And they say that eating processed meat, such as sausage and bacon, can cause cancer in humans. So this is Monday's official designation from the France-based International Agency for Research on Cancer. They are part of the World Health Organization, and they place processed meat in group one list as carcinogenic to humans. The agency said it based its classification on sufficient evidence for colorectal cancer. Tobacco, asbestos, and diesel fumes are also on the group one list, so it's on par there. And if you're wondering what processed meat involves, it refers to salting, curing, fermentation, smoking, or other processes to enhance flavor or improve preservation. Most processed meats contain pork or beef, and examples include sausage, canned meat, beef jerky, and anything smoked. So apparently, to put this risk into perspective, Cancer Research UK notes that out of every 1,000 people in the UK, about 61 will develop bowel cancer at some point in their lives. And about 1,000 people who eat a lot of processed meat, you'd expect 66 to develop bowel cancer at some point in their lives, 10 more than the group that eats the least processed meat. So what does this all mean? Eat less processed meat, or how about eat no meat?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So there's a lot of news stories about this, and some of them are just saying, there's just quotes from people saying, well, just make sure you don't eat as much.
Wait. There's this new headline that's just coming in right now. Breaking news. Mm-hmm. It says there's been a study that shows that eating chickens is a leading cause of death worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, are you making that up?
No, I saw that.
A leading cause of death for chickens.
So
yeah, for chickens.
Does that surpass my processed meat story? So might as well eat processed meat since you're going to die from eating chickens anyways. Let's get back to that next week.
All right, so now we're on to our feature interview. My guest today is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, a recognized expert and thought leader on the culinary, social, ethical, and practical aspects of living vegan. Colleen is the author of 7 best-selling books, including The Joy of Vegan Baking, Color Me Vegan, and The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. She is an acclaimed speaker who has made numerous appearances on national television in the U.S. and is the host of the inspiring podcast Food for Thought, voted favorite podcast by Veg News Magazine readers. Hello, Colleen, and welcome to Animal Voices.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're great. Loud and clear. It's great to have you here. So, as you know, World Vegan Day is coming up this Sunday, November 1st. What does this day mean to you, and do you do anything special to mark or celebrate it?
You know, I don't in the sense of doing anything personally. It is around this time of year when there are so many vegan and animal rights events. So my travel tends to increase this time of year because I'm invited to speak at different events. So that's how I tend to mark this time of year and World Vegan Day, because so many other people do mark it through these events. I wouldn't say that I do anything special, though I did meet Louise, who's the founder of World Vegan Day. I met her in London last year. And she's lovely, and I think she's still surprised that this actually took off as it did. And I actually read her thoughts about why she chose this time of year, and I didn't know that she was purposeful in terms of choosing it around Halloween and Samhain. I didn't know that, because this is definitely a time of year that I'm really thinking of. You know, the fall and the winter coming, and the leaves changing and the harvest changing. I mean, I'm just usually a little more mindful about it in that way. But I love that she's connecting all of that with veganism.
Yeah, very cool. Do you think that holidays like World Vegan Day are effective in increasing visibility for the vegan lifestyle and making it accessible to more people?
Sure. I mean, I think anything like that, I think we mark things as human beings. That's what we do. And I don't mean marking things like my cat used to mark things, to mark the furniture. I mean marking things in positive ways.
Right.
And less smelly ways. My cat Simon was a handful. So not marking in that way, but marking in the sense that we like to mark our calendars. We really do like to have touchstones. And so I think it is important, and I think it does give people the opportunity to stop and reflect and celebrate. And it, again, it gives people, activists, the opportunity to build things around that. So I think it's good. Does that mean the average person, you know, in the general public is walking around aware of it? No, but that they don't have to necessarily celebrate it to be part of it because of the outreach, I think, that's taking place among the activists.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you see a vegan lifestyle fitting into a broader ethic of justice and compassion?
Well, I don't see a vegan lifestyle as anything other than the ethic of justice and compassion. I mean, I think that's what it is. I mean, I think, you know, all of us, I mean, there's a reason there's this thing called vegan, and it's not because of Donald Watson necessarily, meaning that he coined the word, but he didn't invent the idea. And, you know, kudos to Donald Watson. I'm not taking that away from him. But the point is that this has been going on for thousands of years. This being, I want to do better than I'm doing once I find out that what I'm doing is creating harm. I mean, that's just an instinct that we have. And that's a beautiful thing. And then, you know, that's why we all have this shared story, which is, I didn't know, then I found out, and I didn't want to be part of it, right? Whatever that is, I mean, whatever component of eating animals is, whether it's the story you were reading about the cancer and, you know, increase of cancer and consuming meats, or whether it's heart disease, whether it's the suffering of the animals, whether it's the environmental degradation. I mean, whatever it is, once we find out that we may be contributing to harm in some way, our natural instinct is to go, well, what can I do? I don't want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it was for me, and that's, I think, what it is for so many people, is that it is this natural response of compassion to suffering. And so it's not separate from that. It's an extension of that. And same thing with justice. I mean, you know, when we were young and we wanted to help an animal, you know, who was suffering in some way, we just do it because it's the right thing to do. We didn't think about it, you know? And that's where this comes from. It comes from that place, from that ethic inside of us that goes, that's not okay. How can I help? We don't walk by someone who's suffering, whether that someone is an animal or non-human animal. You know what I mean? So that's the justice and compassion for me, is that it's coming from that ethic inside of us, and so it's not separate from justice.
Right. Yeah, no, you've been vegan and have been doing vegan advocacy work for a long time. Is that right?
I have, yes.
Yeah, how many years approximately?
I've been a vegan advocate for 17 years. I've been an animal advocate for about 25 years.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. And as someone who has been doing this work for so long, what changes or shifts have you noticed over time in the ways in which society perceives veganism in general?
You know, society, I mean, people know the word more than they ever knew before, but there's also, I think, you know, when I first became vegan 17 years ago, people may not have known what it meant, but they were just like, oh, okay, that sounds, yep, got it. Today, I think there's a little more awareness that there's something behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just this real awareness that it means something. And so that's where these conversations are so commonplace, which is, you know, why are you vegan? And so I think there's a real curiosity more than there was before. I think there's definitely a more awareness and people pronouncing the word more correctly more than ever before. I don't find too many people saying vegan like I used to hear them say. I think there's just more awareness. And then, of course, seeing on menus and all the other parts of our culture, I do see just more inclusiveness. And, you know, I'm of the very optimistic feeling that, you know, I think people recognize that there's something positive behind that. I know a lot of vegans get frustrated when they hear someone say, I'm vegan, but I eat cheese,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. You know, they clearly need to be educated, if that's the right word. They, you know, they clearly don't know exactly what vegan means, but that they want to identify as vegan,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a real positive thing. So I think there's more and more of that, that people want to identify with that ethic. And I think that's progress.
Yeah, I actually had never thought about that. You're right. A lot of people do seem to want to identify as vegan, even if they don't necessarily understand completely what that entails, for sure. What changes have you noticed in how non-human animals are generally perceived?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that's definitely changing. And that's, you know, that's really the core of my work, is to really shift the paradigm in terms of how we regard non-human animals, and then thus how we treat them. And I think we see that happening not only in terms of our own perceptions as a society, we can see that reflected in the law. And that's why I feel really strongly about legislative work. I love the work that Animal Legal Defense Fund is doing here in the United States to protect animals under the law, because that's where you're going to see rights. And, you know, we see a lot of progress taking place for chimpanzees. It's slow. We want it faster, you know, and other laws that change, you know, it takes years for them to be implemented. I know that's really frustrating. It is frustrating, but that's progress. And so I do see us recognizing, I think they're part of conversations more. They're in Parliament. They're in the U.S. Congress. I mean, conversations about farmed animals, I mean, like, you know, I mean, that took place obviously a long time ago. That's how we had the beginning of the of protection for farmed animals. Obviously, after Upton Sinclair's book came out. So, you know, we have seen farmed animals talked about in Congress before, but I mean, I see that happening more. Mm-hmm. And I think that is both reflected in and then reflected by the general public who takes these issues more seriously. I think there are still people who are going to mock it and say that, well, they're not human, so it's not important. And I don't pay attention to those people. I think there are a lot of conversations happening in terms of changing the way we think about non-human animals and what we can do to protect them. So I see a lot of changes and I see a lot of hope.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it seems like there's more and more scientific research coming out to sort of confirming the consciousness and the intelligence of animals. And it's becoming harder and harder for the general public to ignore their capacity for suffering, their capacity for thought. So, and how is the day-to-day reality of being vegan different today from, say, 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to the day-to-day stuff, it's really going to come down to the practical stuff like eating, mm-hmm. and availability of that food in restaurants and grocery stores and et cetera. So I think that has definitely changed just because, as I said before, the availability, the awareness has changed. And also, if you want to take veganism more broadly than food, which of course we all do, then even looking at the countries who are closing zoos down, circuses where it's illegal for elephants to be part of circuses, or there's animal-free circuses, or animal circuses are becoming illegal in different countries and in different states and cities. That's all part of this day-to-day stuff, because the way animals are affected is in our day-to-day behavior, and that includes entertainment, that includes restaurants, food, eating out, travel. There are more travel organizations focusing on vegans as a group, recognizing them as a group, from a business perspective. So from that kind of broad perspective, I think it's being taken more seriously. And, you know, again, look at the market for vegan foods. I mean, the more quote-unquote the vegan lifestyle is looked at as a business opportunity, I'm sorry, but we're a capitalist, you know, society. That's where it's going to come down to in many ways, and that's not a bad thing because we all want this to be mainstream, and that's one of the ways it's going to happen. So I see it happening on all those fronts, and it's going to come down to money and who can figure out how to make money off of it. Now, I know some vegans really have a hard time with that, but what do you want? Like, do you want it to be just an exclusive club, or do you want this to be mainstream? And one of the ways it's going to be mainstream is when people realize they can make money off of not hurting animals. I'd rather that than what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Colleen. It's Allison here. I have some questions for you. So I consider you to be a person of many wise words of wisdom. And lately I've been getting these emails from you every day called the Daily Dose of Compassion. And the other day, I think it was yesterday, your Daily Dose of Compassion, in that you said, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. Ability doesn't mean prerogative. I really love that. I'm wondering if you can expand on that thought for our listeners, please.
Thanks. Yeah. So, you know, we tend to make these excuses about, justifying why we do what we do. And of course, when it comes to eating animals, we justify why we do what we do. And we want to justify it because we want to feel better about it, because we don't want to think that we're doing something that's actually causing harm to ourselves or to someone else. We just want to believe the best about ourselves. I mean, that's one of the basic fundamental principles about being human. We want to believe the best about ourselves. And so we want to be able to point to something, whether it's in history or physiology or biology, or, we want to be able to, it's some kind of science, we want to be able to point to that and use that as a justification for doing what we do, when really so often we do what we do because of pleasure or habit or desire. And so when we use excuses like, hey, but look at the incisors in my mouth, hey, we've eaten meat for thousands of years, there's nothing wrong with it, you're completely eliminating the next part, which is, well, okay, that's done now. Just because we used to do that doesn't mean we have to keep doing it. Just because we have the ability to do something doesn't mean we have the right to do it. I have the ability to kill. I have the ability to kill the person walking past me right now. Like, I mean, I have the ability to do a lot of things that are pretty nefarious, but I don't do them because they're not the right thing to do. So So that's my point about that quote, which is, you know, ability doesn't mean prerogative. It doesn't mean we have the right to do it just because we have the capability.
Mm-hmm. Well, our theme of today's show is World Vegan Day. And earlier we were discussing certain barriers that people find that they need to overcome or have a hard time trying to overcome when they embrace veganism. And obviously this is your area of expertise. So I'm wondering, what do you find people cite most often as their biggest obstacle to going vegan? And what advice would you have to offer them for overcoming that obstacle?
It's themselves. It's their own limited, small thinking because they think they're not able to do more than they are. And I think what characterizes my work is that I'm not even putting it on anybody else. There are wonderful companies. There's so many food products out there. There's so much availability. There was availability 20 years ago. I mean, I've only been vegan, you know, 17 years. There have been people who've been vegan 40. I mean, we were able to do it even before, you know, the great cheeses were out on the market, right? So what stopped people from being vegan is not because there weren't great products out there, although that helps. It really does. What has stopped people from becoming vegan is their own... Look, we're social creatures. We want to fit in. We want to be part of a group. We want to be part of that. We're social creatures, and we're also creatures of habit. So the two things I would say to people is, number one, you have to find your voice, and you have to know where you end and another person begins. You can absolutely still celebrate being part of a social group who you might not have every single thing in common with. Like, it's okay. You might have a lot of other things in common with them, but where people start getting tripped up is feeling that, you know, if you know, that their friends question or make fun of or tease them about being vegan, and people then wind up kind of recoiling and not wanting to be the one who's different all the time. Well, when you present being vegan or different as being inferior or as being something you have to be apologetic or embarrassed or self-effacing about, then people are going to respond accordingly. But if you show up so proud and so thrilled and so joyful about living according to your values, people respond accordingly. So I think that's one of the things I really encourage people to just really recognize, is that it's you, forget how anybody else reacts, even whatever in our lives. It doesn't matter how people react, it's how we react to that. It's, you know, who we are, it's not how other people are. And then the other thing I would say is you have to raise the bar. You know, if this is your value, if you don't want to kill, like if that's like, you know, if killing is kind of off the table for you, then okay, how do you reflect that in your daily life? And how amazing that we have this thing that we can do, which is pretty easy in the sense of like, we don't have to do much more than like eat good food. Like, it doesn't really require that much at all in terms of effort. How amazing that we have this thing that enables us to say, I can reflect what I care about in my everyday behavior. So raise the bar, you know, be confident, know where you end and another person begins. And, you know, just, I think that really makes a difference. The way we think about being vegan really affects how we are in this world as vegans.
That's a great way of putting it. Thank you, Colleen. Food for thought, as usual. So what's next for you?
What's next for me?
In general.
I'm focused on the 30-Day Vegan Challenge. So my book, The 30-Day Vegan Challenge, just came out in paperback, and I'm really focused on this brand. I just think it's something to bring to companies, to bring to hospitals, to bring to universities, schools. I just know the potential is so really strong for it because people want to make a change. They just don't know how to do it. And so the 30-Day Vegan Challenge is something I'm really focused on, you know, as a program, you know, bigger than just selling the book to the public. So I'm really focused on that. And, right now, I mean, the Daily Dose of Compassion is something I'm really excited about. I love watching people share these little graphical quotes and see people really become inspired by them. And right now I'm traveling a lot and doing my talks around the different events. So that's what's going on right now.
I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit on what your 30-Day Vegan Challenge is. We were talking about different resources to go in vegan earlier, and I had mentioned that, and then I thought, well, maybe Colleen can tell us. So if you can, please.
Yeah, thanks. So the 30-Day Vegan Challenge is the guide for people who want to make the change but don't know how to do it. And so it doesn't necessarily take you through day by day, meaning like today you eat this and today, tomorrow you eat that, because I find that rigid and I find that unrealistic because we tend to eat the same things, you know, every day. And I want people to know that they can pick whatever they want to eat. But what it does is say, look, just try this for 30 days And through that time period, in that time period, I will hold your hand and guide you and answer all of your questions about nutrition, about eating out, about traveling, about food, about protein, about holidays, about talking to your family, about whatever, everything related to eating and cooking and living vegan. And by the end of the 30 days, the idea is that you have a strong enough foundation that you feel really confident about having made this change. So it's a real guide. It's a real support through that transition period, because I really stand by being vegan is effortless in the sense that once you have the shift and once you have the habit shift, being vegan is effortless, but becoming vegan can be challenging for people. The transition can be hard because we're creatures of habit. So I'm there to just be there for support and guidance.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Colleen, for being here today. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
What an honor. Thank you.
That was Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Check out her book, The 30-Day Vegan Challenge, which, as she said, just came out in paperback, and her awesome podcast, Food for Thought, at joyfulvegan.com.
You have been listening to Animal Voices on CFRO 100.5 Vancouver Co-op Radio, broadcasting live on unceded Coast Salish territories. That was a stellar debut, Elise. Thanks for that. Just a reminder that this is member drive time, and Animal Voices does need to pull its weight at Co-op Radio if it wants to stick around. So if you think we're doing something important and you want us to keep doing it, we do need your support. We don't flood your ears with constant advertisements about cars that pollute the earth. Just a little reminder a few times a year that we need your help to stay alive. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We are always looking to reach out and connect with the local community, and would love to hear from you. If you wanted to connect with us directly, feel free to give us a shout at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. If that's too forward for you, you can tweet us at animalvoicesyvr, or you can reach us on Facebook at Animal Voices Vancouver. We are also looking for some help. I'm leaving the show in a couple weeks, so if you like to play with volume sliders, then please get in touch. We have many other opportunities available as well, so seriously, get in touch. It's a lot of fun. And I have learned so much over the last year volunteering here at Co-op Radio, and specifically with Animal Voices. We've got a great show for you next week, so please join us again. We will save you a seat. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith coming up next. We will be leaving you today with a song by Denzel St. Clair called Tofu and Greens. And please remember to be kind to the animals.
Greens. Give me some fried tofu and greens with a side order of rice and fava beans. Tofu and greens, I'm on a new veggie regime. I got myself a new source of protein. I got tired of all the beef about foot and mouth disease. No more fish and thigh, pork and crazy cow. Just give me some tofu, please. Tofu and greens, give me some fried tofu and greens with a side order of rice and fava beans. I've given up beef.
Now I love me some beef.
I don't eat fish.
Why is that?
I've made some adjustments.
To what?
To my favorite dish.
I don't know, Denzel.
No more chicken.
Got to be crazy.
No more ham.
I love me some
no
ham.
No thanks to turkey.
Wait a minute now.
Bye bye lamb.
I don't know.
And to think the two things that I said I'd never do.
Say
well,
never
give
do
up
that.
Eating any meat and start to eat tofu.
Why
but
tofu?
I made my decision.
Huh?
Try something new.
Something new, huh?
And I'm digging my veggies.
I love
and love tofu. Tofu! You can dice it, spice it, fight with rice. Tofu! Marinate it overnight, make it taste just right. Tofu! Spice it and put it in the oven to broil. Tofu! Top with sun-dried tomatoes and olive oil. You can make it simple or go haute cuisine. There are so many ways to prepare this product of the world's eighth wonder, the soya bean. Tofu! Put it in a salad, stir it in a stew. Chili or ratatouille. So if you ever have the urge to try something new, just go down to the grocery store and pick up some tofu.
Tofu and greens.
Give me some fried tofu and greens. With a side order of rice and fava beans, you might just like it. Tofu!
Tofu!
Tea.